Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels, 201-939-4513, the number for you to get on the line, talk some Giants football, or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Next week, we're off to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We get ready for that. Then free agency, of course, starts the following week. So a lot to talk about. Not a ton of news. We'll have more of that next week when we're at the Combine. And, you know, it's almost like a big NFL convention, folks. Everybody that's involved in the league, coaches, scouts, general managers, executives, they're all in one place at one time.
Radio people, TV people.
Everybody.
Everybody.
The most important people, of course. But, you know, the Senior Bowl, usually just have the scouts, maybe some coaches, you know, but teams are still in the postseason, so those coaches aren't there. Everybody is there for this. So a lot of news goes down, reports. You might have more people tagged in terms of the franchise tag and things of that nature. So
plus
a lot goes on.
Probably a lot of agents are there, too, because they're tampering with the free agents period. Which
there's no tampering.
Yeah.
There's no tampering.
And I said yesterday on our show, there's a great article that Breer wrote. And if you want to talk about tampering, read that article.
It's funny how it goes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But I thought a couple interesting articles that got released in the last day or so that I thought I'd get into with Jeff here. The first one, since it's the first part of the offseason in order, is free agency. So we'll touch on the Pro Football Focus article first. They basically put out what the Giants' free agency plan is going to be. And this is kind of how they stacked it up.
It's interesting.
They had their must-resign player. They had Justin Pugh for that. As a player that can play both left guard and right tackle, and also maybe even some left tackle. They think his best position is left guard, which I think Jeff and I both agree on as well. And they believe he would be a good person with his versatility to be a future mainstay of the Giants' offensive line. But of course, and they point this out, that if you sign Pugh, bringing in somebody like Norwell from Carolina probably would not be on the priority list.
Yeah, I think, no, it can't be, because they won't have any money left. So it's either one or the other. In my opinion, in my gut feeling, I don't think the Giants are going to be able to afford Justin Pugh, and I think they'll have to go somewhere else.
All right, we'll see if that's the case. Their dream splash signing is actually on the other side of the ball. It's not on the offensive line, so they go linebacker, which given the fact that the Giants are going to a 3-4, I think it makes a certain amount of sense. And that's Nigel Bradham, who's a very good coverage linebacker.
Very good.
Obviously, in Philadelphia, he's one of those versatile guys that James Betcher can use to blitz and cover. They're interesting. So they think Bradham would be a great splash signing for the Giants.
Well, and I think it would be a great signing, especially bringing him over from Philly. You know, but I think that he would fit that 3-4 scheme that Betcher has. And really, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Paul, is that this team does need linebackers. And if you are going to make a dream splash – well, actually, this is a dream splash signing they have. You know, I don't know where all this splash money is going to come from, but, you know, he's going to want some cash. He's got a very high grade, 680. I mean, let me ask you a question real quickly. Justin Pugh, they have a 52.4 overall grade. That's the lowest of all the other free agents that are on the Giants.
That was just based on his year last year when he played through a lot of injury, and, of course, he played out of position.
Okay,
so
that's not an overall – okay,
that,
yeah, all right. So I was just kind of curious about that. But I think that linebacker is a way – and I think that the Giants should go after either in free agency or at the draft. They do need to get some linebackers in here.
And the other two players that they make note of that obviously you would not be able to bring in addition to a Bradham and a Pugh because of the financial concerns like we spoke about. Was Nate Solder, who's obviously the best offensive tackle on the market from the New England Patriots, and then Deion Lewis, a running back from the Patriots,
who interesting one.
Has been pretty effective in a timeshare up in New England, and he really showed last year that he can be more of a, you know, tote the rock primary running back, at least on first and second down.
I think that's a reach that they're going to go out and get a running back and pay him the money he's going to want in free agency when I think they can go and find a younger guy in the later rounds and not have to pay the money. You know, this all comes down to how much money they're going to be able to go after and get with the 19 free agents that the Giants have that they can go get some more money. I mean, 27, 25 million, whatever the number is at this point, is not a lot of money, John. And I think that if you're going to be able to go out and sign maybe two impact guys with that kind of money. That's
now,
about it.
Depending on what they do in the next couple of weeks, they might be able to free up a little bit more.
That's what I'm saying. They have a lot of, they have 19 guys that are free agents that they have to think about, and then they can restructure some other guys. You know, you talk about some of the players that are making a lot of money. You can always restructure those deals. You can always go back to Eli to get money. You can go to the guys that are making the most money. There's ways to restructure things so they can free up some cap money.
And if you go to Pro Football Focus, you can read the full Giants free agency report and PFF on Twitter. They linked to the article today. So I thought that was interesting. And, of course, we'll have our boy Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus on with us from the Combine next week, along with a bevy of other guests, including Matt Miller, who wrote from Bleacher Report, who released his weekly scouting notebook. And I thought it was interesting, Jeff. He basically talked to a bunch of general managers and scouts and position scouts about the five quarterbacks in this draft. And he kind of summarized some of the quotes, and he wanted to make sure he gave both sides of opinions on these specific players. So I'm going to go through these five guys. I'll go one at a time. I'll give what he wrote, and then I'll get your reaction to it, okay? First, he starts with Sam Darnold. Obviously, he gives some basic facts on him. Two-year starter, good tangibles, intangibles, 22 turnovers in 2017, which is a worry. Here are two quotes. One quote from a scout. Crystal clean off the field, smart, poised, tough, accurate. He might be the only one that could work in Cleveland because he won't let the pressure go to his head. And the coach's quote, the release and turnovers bother me, but he has the makeup to be good. He's better than Trubisky was last year, but he's not on the level of Wentz or Goff.
It's funny.
The scout comparison for him was Tony Romo out of Dallas.
And whoever that coach's quote, would he have made that quote there last year?
I agree. I don't believe he's on Wentz's level. I think I would. I think him and Goff are very close. Let me put it that way.
All three of these guys obviously are going to be the first five, six picks in the draft.
Correct.
Because they all were. But you know, I think that Sam Darnold is a guy like we've all talked about. He checks all the boxes. He's not a guy that's going to be off the field problems. He's smart. He's big.
Height and weight.
He's got all the stuff. And I think that it's just a matter of which team falls in love with him the most, whether it's Cleveland. A lot of chatter about Cleveland maybe not taking that quarterback at the number one position.
Who's chattering that besides Lance Meadow?
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and a lot of the callers were kind of like, you know, hey, they got the number four pick.
Do you want to know what that is? That's wishful thinking by Giant fans.
Okay.
That's what that is.
It is because they want Saquon Barkley.
No, they want to have – or they want their choice of quarterbacks.
I think a lot of people, from what we took calls yesterday, want Saquon Barkley.
I know they do. But then they shouldn't. But then they should want the Browns to take a quarterback.
Well, but I think a lot of people yesterday were saying that we're not going to get Saquon Barkley because the Browns are taking him. And then they're going to have the number four pick and get whoever's left. And
I'm going to have somebody that covers the Browns, our buddy Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland, at the Combine, and he will set straight whether or not the Browns will take a quarterback with that first pick.
Well, we put his prediction on the board to make sure he's correct. Because you're putting a lot of credence in this guy, and I want to make sure that he is 100% correct. Because
nobody knows. I will record him, though. Nobody knows. But, Jeff, I would be shocked. Hold on. You know, folks, and now I'm off topic because you brought this up, and it annoys me.
Listen,
it
annoys
you. Hold on. The Browns have been without a quarterback since Bernie frickin' Kosar in 1990. Well, why would they take a chance?
Because they got their quarterback last year in Kaiser.
Who stinks?
Well, I mean,
he was terrible last year. You have the first pick in the draft, and if you believe in one of these guys, and you haven't had a quarterback for 25 frickin' years, you're going to sit there, not take him, and hope he's sitting there at four. You're John Dorsey. It's the first time you're making a pick as general manager.
And Schmuck is fired up.
That is crazy talk. Now, it's the Browns, so maybe they do it. Who knows?
There you go. Now you have come down to a level that you're speaking rationally. It's the Browns. You never know what the Browns are going to do.
But you don't think that.
I am not telling you that I think this is going to happen. I'm just telling you what people have been talking about.
Don't you think ownership has told John Dorsey, you got to pick the quarterback of the future here? And you're telling me he's going to say, oh, well, I don't really care if I get Darnold or Allen. I'm just going to wait. No, he's going to pick the guy that he thinks is the best quarterback, and he's going to pick him at one. He might get Saquon Barkley at four.
No way.
He
can get a quarterback at four.
Why can't he get Saquon Barkley at four?
Because the Giants will take him.
There's no guarantee the Giants take a running back.
There's no guarantee. Come on. There's no guarantee of any of this that can happen.
You just told me they're not getting him at four.
Who?
The Browns. They could get him at four.
Listen, my point is that I think that the Browns could get a quarterback at four they'd be fine with by taking Saquon Barkley at one.
But why would they not take the quarterback?
Because
they
Saquon Barkley is a better. I'm not telling you doing this. I'm just telling you what people were telling me yesterday.
So stop arguing for other
people.
No,
I just love to argue with you.
All right, back on track.
But okay, Sam Darnold, the Cleveland Browns should take him.
Yes. If I was the Cleveland Browns general manager,
there's no question.
That's who I would
say. But
take,
if they don't, oh my God, things are going to blow up.
Yes. All right.
But that would be good because now the Giants could get the quarterback that they want if that's in fact what they want to do.
And a guy, who
fired up,
Schmuck.
I love it.
I'm sorry, that's been bothering me for a few days, as you can tell. The second pick. Will you let me do this? You're killing me.
Go ahead.
Matt Miller's list that actually Mel Kiper had mocked to the Browns at first overall. Josh Allen, most polarizing quarterback based on the people he talked to. Here are two scouts' takes on Josh Allen. Scouts quote, and this one annoys me, why does the league like him more than Twitter? Because we know what we're doing.
Of course you do.
Allen had nothing around him, and people expect him to complete passes to who? So I guess throwing passes 10 feet over wide-open receivers' heads. That's not his fault, but okay.
Because they didn't have 6'10 receivers.
Yeah. Scouts quote, Allen takes an imagination. Big arm, though, and I think this is a good one.
Yeah.
Allen takes an imagination. Big arm, big frame, great athleticism, ran a pro-style offense, great kid. But when he's off with the ball, he's way off. That, to me, is a good, honest evaluation of Josh Allen.
Okay. And they have him number. They have him above. Is this his ranking system, the way that they are in no particular order?
I don't believe that is any particular order.
Okay.
Quarterback number three.
Yep.
And by the way, the quarterback comparison they had for Josh Allen was Phillip Rivers from one of the scouts. Not sure I see that, but okay. Josh Rosen. Here we go. Prize recruit. Obviously, very good in the pocket. Here's the executive's quote on Josh Allen: when everything is perfect, he's perfect. But he can't move, and he's been hurt a ton.
This one I love.
He's also a spoiled brat.
Really? I just love that. He knows he's a spoiled brat? What, is he in the living room where his dad's giving him all his allowance every single day, and he has a car? I mean, come on.
Scouts quote,
okay,
he's my top quarterback, super smart, beautiful mechanics, and his fade route is something to get excited about. He needs to get bigger and stronger, but that comes with time. Scouts comparison. I actually like this comparison. Especially if it was solely on the field,
sure.
Is Matt Ryan.
I'll agree with that. Matt's got a nice touch on the football. Okay, he's smart, he's intelligent, beautiful mechanics. I think it's a spot on comparison. I agree with you on the only thing I can see with the comparison with Josh Allen and Phillip Rivers is just the size. He's tall
and
kind of, you know, maybe looks like him a little bit.
And I'll say this about Rosen, too. I think there are some – I don't know about him being spoiled. I'm not going to comment on that. But let me put it this way. In his college career, he has found it necessary to comment on a lot of things that have nothing to do with football. And as you well know, in a media market like New York,
it can be troublesome. Yeah.
Troublesome.
Yeah.
The fourth quarterback that he got some quotes on was Baker Mayfield. Coach's quote, I wouldn't bet against him. He's been told he's not big enough or good enough at every level, and look where he is now. Scouts quote, it's hard to wrap your head around a 6-foot-tall, non-athletic, which I think he is athletic, by the way, spread quarterback from the Big 12 being a top 10 pick. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but of all these top guys, he's the one that's most likely to be average, and the scouts comparison was Case Keenum. Well, let me say a couple things about that. Baker Mayfield is more arm talent than Case Keenum has. He just does.
The comparison doesn't go, and I think it's because he's a free agent. Case Keenum, free agent, kind of like Baker Mayfield. I'll tell you, poor the guys. If he was just a little bit taller,
and he didn't have the off the field worries, he'd be the first pick in the draft.
But I mean, you look at the guy, and I love the coach's quote. I think I put more credence in the coach's quote than I do the scout quote.
I do too.
I really like what he says that I wouldn't bet against him. He's been told he's not big enough or good enough at every level. And that's the truth. And that I kind of like that in guys. When somebody tells you can't be who you are and you go out and do what he did last year, I mean, his numbers were ridiculous.
The last 2 years, by the way.
I mean, are incredible.
Incredible.
And not only that, I know he's a Big Ten, but he's still playing against guys that are in the NFL, that are going
Big 12.
Be in the NFL, Big 12,
yeah.
Excuse me, that are good players.
Oh, yeah. And look, they don't play a lot of defense in the Big 12. I get that. I get all that.
But still, you can't take away what he did.
Now, look, you obviously evaluate it in the vacuum that he was in. Okay. But the bottom line here is that he was extremely accurate. He didn't throw a lot of interceptions. Now, the spread system helps in some of that. I get it. But this is also isn't your traditional spread. He was making reads. He was reading both sides of the field. He actually did make some audibles pre-snap at the line of scrimmage himself. So this is not the offense that, you know, Bryce Petty was in or, you know, even Davis Webb was in Cal last year. It's a little bit more than that.
I just like his grittiness. I think he's a leader. He definitely people, and I think the fans, wherever he goes, are going to like the way he plays.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's exciting. It's kind of, you know, he's not ho-hum.
Dan Salamone loves his attitude. He just thinks he is the perfect attitude for an NFL football player.
Is that sarcastically? Okay. Right.
Well, he once planted an Oklahoma flag in the middle of Ohio State Stadium. So Dan does not forget those sorts of things. All right, fifth quarterback. Yeah, and he actually did six, so I'll give you all six. And this is a guy, the next two guys are people that the Giants could maybe pick with their second round pick if they don't go quarterback in the first round.
I hope not.
Go quarterback at all.
I hope not.
Lamar Jackson. Here's one scout's quote. Is he smart enough to make pro reads? Has he ever gotten to his progressions from the pocket? Can he stay healthy with that frame and style of play? And by the way, he completed 57% of his passes. There are a lot of question marks about this dude. I actually think he's made more progression reads than people give him credit for. His accuracy, though, is something that I think you can have some questions about. Scout's quote. He improved so much this last season, but I still see a guy that runs around too much. He'll have to make major changes to his game to win in the NFL. He might make an early splash and flame out, and the scout's comparison was Robert Griffin III.
Well, because he likes to get outside the pocket and run and make plays with his feet. I think what the scout is the scout's quote is saying, can he stay in the pocket and be able to have that completion percentage? I think that's the biggest thing. And that's kind of hard. You can't change a zebra's stripes sometimes. The guy's just not used to staying in the pocket and wants to make some plays with his feet,
well,
and
he's
gets
so
outside of it.
Good at it too,
of course. I mean, I think that's kind of where the comparison comes to Robert Griffin III.
And I've done some reading and read about Bobby Petrino's offense, and it's somewhat complicated. It's not an easy offense to run, so I think the whole, you know, maybe not that smart thing. I'm not sure if I buy that one about Lamar Jackson. Mason Rudolph at six. The forgotten man in the 2018 draft class, 42-game starter college, 92 touchdowns and just 26 picks. Scouts quote, Bryce Petty all over again. Great kid, but he's not smart enough or athletic enough to make a difference in our league. Scout number two, given the right scheme, maybe Minnesota or Jacksonville, so what, run-heavy schemes, I guess, and the right coach to work with his strengths, he could be a starter. He won't blow anyone away, but he won't lose you games. Scout comparison, A.J. McCarron. I would also throw maybe Andy Dalton into that comparison, maybe something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know why AJ McCarron's someone that won't lose you games.
Just
he's played
game
in like
managers,
three games.
You know, whoever you want to.
Right. So those are the six takes on the quarterbacks I thought fans might find interesting.
Back to what you said about the Giants, if they possibly, you know, these guys could be. I hope not. I mean, I'd rather just go away from the quarterbacks if that's what they decide to do, and just go heavy and get some linemen in here, some linebackers, and build this thing through the draft.
So if you pick the quarterback, you want to take him at two.
If here's my thing, okay? If you go through on your evaluation and you feel like these are one of the guys, and you got to take the quarterback. There's no question. If it's one of these guys you feel that you can build your team around picks, you got your splash free agent lineman, okay, or maybe the linebacker, and then you feel like you can get some more picks for these guys and start to build you have a 3-13 team that was horrible. Mm-hmm. You got to do some work.
Sure.
And you know you can turn around very quickly, okay, but if you could get some good athletes and good players within the first 2.5 rounds by trading that pick, go ahead and do it. But you got to be sure that you don't like any of these quarterbacks, because obviously a lot's going to change now with the combine and the pro workouts. And like you said before, these guys are going to go from, you know, Baker Mayfield's the number one guy now and he didn't throw well, and now, you know, this guy's better. And I think you just got to put all your credence in your evaluation and your scouting and go from there.
You ready to do calls?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's go to Pyrex in Queens.
Pyrex.
He will lead us off. What's up, Pyrex?
How you doing, guys? I love the show.
Thank you.
We love your name.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually my real name.
Is right? It really? Because if Tatino was here, he would have called it P-Rex. What's happening?
But yeah, no, I was just, you know, a lot of draft talk and everything. I'm a big Saquon Barkley guy. I think he's a generational talent like Odell was and is going to be. And I think we should take him. But if we don't, I don't because of the fact that I think Eli has two good seasons left if he has offensive line. Mm-hmm. Pat Shurmur is his main priority, as he said, and David Gettleman said, they're going to fix the offensive line. That's their number one priority. So Eli Manning behind a good offensive line, I think he can give us another good two seasons. Now, the reason I say I'd take Saquon is because, like I said, he's a generational talent. But if not, if we don't take Saquon, I think if we should try to trade down and get more picks, because if we get more picks, then we can stack up on linebackers, offensive linemen. Because if we get a decent offensive line, not a decent one, but a good one, a significantly better one than last year, Orleans Darkwa is a free agent. I believe that Wayne Gallman can run behind a good offensive line.
Sure.
Deion Lewis is in free agency. I don't know how much he's asking for, but running backs don't ask for much, and he can't ask for much. And that the Bradham, the linebacker from Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken,
yep.
That the splash free agency pick, the money that we can the money can come from somewhere, and I'll tell you where. We have Brandon Marshall, who when he was playing, even though he didn't play for a while, he was non-existent. It was like he wasn't on the field. We have Dwayne Harris, and Dwayne Harris is a good return man, but his time might have come. And Jason Pierre-Paul, this is the one that hurts, because Jason Pierre-Paul is, I mean, how many sacks did he have last year? Do you know off the top of your head?
Seven, maybe?
Seven sacks, with the help of Olivier Vernon, of course. Because Olivier Vernon is a workhorse. But, I mean, at least...
I have to check that.
If not cut JPP, because I don't think we should, because of everything, like, because of the legacy and everything. He won a Super Bowl with us. But take a pay cut. I mean...
Whoa, Pyrex, hold on one second. First of all, even if you cut JPP, you're not saving any money, because he has $22 million of dead cap. In fact, you're losing money cut him, okay? And number two, if you go to JPP and you ask him to take a pay cut, he's going to laugh in your face.
Yeah.
That's true. And I wasn't aware of that at
yep.
first.
That's okay.
But the Brandon Marshall and the Dwayne Harris will free up some money.
There's definitely areas that this team can go to find some money. And those two guys are in my opinion, are two guys that they probably will approach.
But Pyrex, in that case, even if you do those things you're talking about, based on the guys coming down the road like Odell and Landon Collins, I still don't think, given the salary structure on this roster, you can give out $50+ million contracts to players this offseason. I'm just – maybe if you get super creative, but I think it's going to be really, really, really tough.
Yeah, I believe so too.
So what's your recourse? You're going to have to try to get some things through the draft.
Yeah,
that could be the situation where you say, I have that number two pick and I could get five different draft picks from that thing, including another first rounder.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think you're getting five, but okay.
I mean, not this year, but I mean, maybe in three or four, three next year, two next year.
It depends how far back you're moving. If you're only moving back to five or six, you're not getting five picks back.
Yeah, but if there's a guy somewhere in the top 13, I wouldn't do it. It has to be the top 10, in my opinion. We've talked about that before.
And Eli Apple, over the whole offseason, he's been the story, and it has nothing to do with football. You understand? I mean, is he really worth the headache? You know what I mean? We can trade him and get something and get draft picks for him, I believe.
Well, hold on, Pyrex. Look, the Giants will make whatever decision they make on Eli Apple, but if the Giants see issues with him, why do you think another team would go and offer a high draft pick for a guy when the Giants are trying to get rid of him?
Because there are teams in the league that have locker rooms that are not like the Giants' locker room.
I would be very surprised if you got a first or second round pick for him in a trade.
Yeah, really?
I would.
I think second round. I don't think first round, but I think maybe a second round, a late second rounder or a third rounder. But I don't know. It depends. I mean, I think he has potential.
No, of course he does. I mean, look, he was picked in the and Pyrex, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. He was picked in the top half of the first round for a reason. The guy's got speed. He's got length. He can play. But it's the other stuff, and you know, you wonder if he can fit in this locker room with the other guys, and that's something that Dave Gettleman's going to have to figure out and decide, Jeff.
I think it all comes down to what I said, is if they feel like they need, that this is one of the quarterbacks that they want, then you know, we're not even talking about all the other stuff. But I'm just trying to figure out how many guys that we can get for that number two pick. And I'm looking at the trade for Mahomes. You know, the thing, what they did, Mahomes with Chiefs last year, they moved up.
Yeah, but how far do they move up, though? They moved up like 13 spots.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out what that number two pick. And you have that chart that everybody talks about.
Right.
You know, so.
To me, your conversation starts with you're getting, obviously, the first-round pick this year. You're getting the second-round pick this year. And you're getting the first-round pick next year.
Okay, so there's three.
Anything more than that, to me, is a bonus.
I just think you got to get more than that. So.
To move back four spots, that's a steal.
Oh, it's four spots.
If you're moving from like 2 to 5 or 2 to 6, and you're getting their second round pick and their first round pick next year, I think that's a pretty fair deal.
So who's moving up with you?
The Jets or Broncos?
I don't think it would be the Jets. No way.
Why?
I just cannot see the either team saying to each other, "We're going to trade." No way.
if I'm Dave Gettleman and the Jets call me, and they give me the best possible best offer for that pick than any other team's giving me. You're going to say no just because it's the Jets? I'm making the trade.
It'd have to be a little bit more just because it's the Jets.
If you are that afraid that the Jets are going to get a quarterback that's going to haunt you for a while, then you know what? You should pick the damn quarterback yourself.
Well, I'm just telling
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a scary situation.
Well, then if you're that afraid, and then pick the quarterback. You have to have conviction in what you're doing.
If you really
don't believe one of these quarterbacks is the answer, you should not be afraid to trade that pick to the Jets. Make the trade. Believe in what you're doing. Don't play scared. Don't worry about what's going on over there.
Yeah, but
do what you think is best for your team.
But just because you believe that doesn't mean that you're 100% correct. It could be this guy could turn out to be the best quarterback that's ever played the game, and it would always go down as the Giants traded that quarterback to the Jets, and look what happened.
If I can get an extra third or second round pick, I'm willing to take that risk.
I would never do it.
Let's go to Ricky in Portland. He's up next. Hi, Ricky.
Not to that team.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Listen, I've been evaluating that draft chart you've been talking about a couple of different times, and came up with my own if I'm the GM for the day scenario.
Okay.
Wanted to run about past you guys.
Sure. What do you got?
So where are you at? You're the GM for which team at what pick, and you're going to approach John and I who are running the draft.
Why the hell would I be a GM for any other team than the New York Giants?
Okay, well, I'm just saying. All right, go
no,
ahead.
No. I'm just saying. I love the Giants. I'm a big Giant fan. I'm gonna be a Giant GM for the day.
Okay.
So I've got the second pick. I'm looking, and I understand the trepidation in trying to get outside that top 10, but the Buffalo Bills have four picks in the first two rounds. They have two first round picks and two second round picks.
You're not getting all of them.
You got they're too low. Well, they're too low first round picks, so, right?
Yeah. Well, they're too low first round picks. So the draft chart for the second pick using the newer version, the updated version of the draft chart, the Giants' second pick in the first round is worth about 717 points.
That's the new one.
That's the new one. We've got the Bills' two first round picks at 260 and 252 each. Then we've got the second round pick at 106 and the second round pick at 98. That leaves them right at a 718 value. So it's 717 for 718.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, though, the Bills are not going to trade all their picks from the same draft. They'd be more willing to trade you a pick from next year's draft. And by the way, even if that's the case, if I'm the Giants, I still don't do that.
Sure, which is why that's not the trade that I'm proposing. Proposing the two firsts, the two seconds, and next year's second and third. This is the that's plan A for me. That leaves me with 6 picks in the first 66 picks in this year's draft.
No, but you don't understand what I'm telling you. The Bills are not going.
No,
the Bills are not going to do that.
No, I understand that, which is why I came up with an alternate scenario.
Okay.
Which so the alternate scenario, if they're not willing to give up the assets in this year's draft exclusively, I'm looking at the 2 first round picks this year, a second round pick, which still leaves them with a second round pick in this year's draft, a third round pick, which would be at the tail end. It's actually Philadelphia's pick in the third round. So it's 2 firsts, the second, and the third, and then next year's first round pick.
I'm still, I don't want to pick 21st and 22nd this year. I realize you're getting a lot of value, and I hear you. You realize the failure rate for players picked 21st and 22nd is astronomically higher than for a player picked number 2.
And I just have to – I got to look for a team that's going to stay within my parameters. And my parameters, if anything, would be 11, 12, and up.
I mean, there is a chance that the players you're picking at 21st and 22nd have second-round grades on your draft board. A lot of times in any given year, there's only 15 players with a first-round grade. So you're going to trade the second overall pick in your draft and get – perhaps the best player in the draft that you like more than anybody else, and you're going to trade that for 4 guys with second round grades on your draft board. I think it's very, very risky. I think it's very, very risky.
I think you're better.
For me, would you mind my just interjecting
here?
Sure. So my concern here is I feel like there's more risks associated with putting all your eggs in one basket as opposed to putting your eggs in several baskets.
You're diversifying your risk by picking multiple guys. I get where you're coming from, and that does make sense, but the odds of you also landing a difference-making generational player also dive substantially.
Sure. So guys that we're looking at potentially in that 21, 22 range would be guys like I heard it in earlier on this week you guys were talking about Kiper leaving McGlinchey off of the first round. If you can get a guy like Mike McGlinchey, you get a guy like B.J. Price, the center, someone like Willie Hernandez at the beginning of the second round. Those are 3 potentially difference making offensive line talent being injected into this into the team with maybe you move Eric Flowers to right tackle, you go sign a guy like Norwell, and now you're talking.
No, look, I'm not telling you aren't going to be able to draft good players with those picks, but picking 21st and 22nd, you're acting like you're getting sure things at those selections. You're not. I mean, do you want to go back? I can take a look at the guys picked between 20 and 30 the last few years, and I can list you some names, and you're going to be blown away at how bad some of these guys are.
Yeah, no, I believe you. It just sounds like this year's draft is extremely deep in the offensive line pool, and if you can acquire more assets to be able to take advantage of this year's draft strength, then it seems to make sense, considering it's our greatest weakness and has been for the last several years.
I think that all in all, that number 2 pick is so valuable. It's the player you pick, whether it's what you can trade for it. All right, you got to remember too, the Giants can also trade up in their second round pick somewhere to get alignment if they're there. So I just think that you got to stay if you're going to be to move up with somebody. You got to stay in that top. I'll tell you what, you look at the top 11, 12 teams, 13 teams. Who needs quarterbacks in here?
There's not a lot of them.
There's not a lot. I mean, Miami maybe could trade
maybe,
up. Maybe, but right? But that's an 11. That's an 11.
I think Gase likes Tannehill, to be honest with you. And then you got a 15 to Arizona as the next team.
I mean, yeah.
Look, I think you put some good offers together, Ricky. I think you did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the call.
And it's
thanks
a great
a
call. And it's, it's really a lot to talk about. And there is no solid answer. And we appreciate everybody's attempt to try to work things out like this. It's sooner or later, we're going to find out if anybody's correct on this. You know, and it's really difficult.
And if you're the Bills, I would try to be doing exactly what Ricky's talking about. I would try
especially to package. Especially with those two.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or at least try to move up one of them at least to get up there a little bit higher. Because they, you know, they need a quarterback.
The Buffalo Bills right now select 21st and 22nd in the first round of the draft.
This 22nd pick came from Kansas City
in
from
the
last
Mahomes
year.
Trade. That's correct.
Yeah. So,
I'm just very hesitant to move down that far. There's a lot of risk involved with that. It's a lot of risk.
Let me ask you a question just for
yes.
fun. Would you do something with Miami with Landry and Jarvis Landry? This is just for fun.
No.
This is just for
no.
fun.
No, I wouldn't.
You know, if you didn't
nope.
need an offensive lineman
nope.
and you didn't, you
nope.
know, no.
Nope.
Because if
nope.
you get those two
nope.
characters
nope.
together.
Nope. Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Right?
Nope. Nope. I have no interest in paying a slot receiver $180 million.
Because
no,
you're going to have to pay your number one receiver next year.
More than that.
Or even this year.
Correct.
Because number one, three may not even be on the field this year.
If you're trying to stockpile offensive linemen, would you consider making a trade like that with the Bills? Yeah, you consider it. And if you're not going to pick a quarterback, would you think about that? Sure. I don't think it's silly. I don't think it's stupid. I think it's a real option. I think you have to consider it. But it's hard to go 3-13 and walk away with picks in the 20s.
It's also hard to walk away with so many offensive linemen like everybody are thinking. Okay, this draft doesn't have 26 number one draft picks on the board linemen. It's just, yeah, there might be four or five of them, but there's other teams that are going to grab them.
Right. I mean, odds are if you're picking 21 and 22, you should be able to get a tackle and a guard there that are going to be the better players at their position in the class. How good they're going to be, I don't know, especially at the tackle position, because I think some of the guys are hit or miss in this draft class. But you should be able to get a pretty damn good guard at 21 if you want.
But if you look at the history of Dave Gettleman and what he's done, found some talented offensive linemen.
Draft them later.
Maybe that's, you know, you don't fix it if it's not broke, right? So, I mean, maybe he has a way of finding some of these other guys, and it'll be interesting. But it's got to be a lot to get that number two pick, man.
Antonio Manhattan, he's up next. Hi, Antonio.
Hey, what's going on, John and Jeff? How are you guys?
Good.
Happy Friday.
Good.
What's
How
up,
are
buddy?
You?
Doing good, doing good. I just wanted to ask you guys, I got two things to say. Just first of all, I want to ask you guys, let's say the Giants can't move down. They
okay.
tried it. Everybody just want to stay put.
Yep.
We just don't get good offers.
Which, by the way, Antonio, is possible.
Highly possible.
Yeah, no. It's very possible. I'm just making a situation here, and I want you guys your input on it.
Please.
The Browns picked Darnold. Who would you guys pick at number two? I just want to hear that.
The Browns picked Darnold.
Right.
It's a good question.
Who would you guys pick?
That's a really good question. Do I have to give you an answer today?
Just right now, you know?
Do I have to give?
Okay.
It
change. It doesn't have to be solid. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Your combine is going to come and you're going to change.
If I had to make that pick today,
right,
I would really consider taking Baker Mayfield.
Whoa, really?
I would.
And Dan gets up out of his chair.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
I would really think about it.
No way.
I would also consider Bradley Chubb. I would consider Josh Rosen. I would consider Saquon Barkley. I would not go guard there. As much as I love Quentin Nelson, I can't pick a guard second. I think Mayfield's the second best quarterback. I would really consider picking him in that spot.
You want
Jeff,
mine?
What about you?
I would take the best player in the draft.
Well, that's nice. Who do you think it is?
It's going to be the running back.
Oh, okay. There you go.
It's going to be. Well, yeah,
I just feel like I know you got to have an offensive line, but you're not picking an offensive lineman at number two, like John just said. Okay, and I feel like you look at Todd Gurley, you look at guys like this. He could be a really fun player.
See,
to
here's
have.
The problem, though, Jeff. And Antonio, stay put. I will let you finish your call. I talked to Paul about this during the week. I watched six games of Barkley from this year. He's a different type of back. He's not Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott, where he's going to put his head down and get 3 or 4 yards.
I didn't compare him to that. I'm saying like an exciting player.
Well, exciting player, yes. But I think my point I want to make to fans is that he's a real feast or famine guy. He tries to bounce everything, a lot of jump cuts. He's not going to be this, oh, gain 4 yards, gain 6 yards, gain 3 yards, gain 5 yards. He's going to be gain 30 yards, minus one, minus two, one, zero, and then gain 35 yards.
Good.
And he's one of these guys that's, I think, in my opinion at least, Antonio, going to have to change his style and the way he runs a little bit when he gets to the NFL. Because in college, you know, he's faster or more athletic than a lot of these guys on defense because he's such a freak show athlete. Guess what? You get to the NFL, right, that ain't the case anymore.
Doesn't change my mind.
I think, I agree with you on that. I kind of set you up on that one because I knew you was going to go there.
It's okay.
with Baker Mayfield, and I'm on Jeff's side. I would take Barkley just because you want a dynamic player. Think about Odell. Odell is arguably the best receiver in the NFL. If we could, you know. Based on the, I'm interested in seeing what's this guy's 40 on the combine. But if his 40 is out of this world, then this guy is going to be amazing because he not only is going to burn, but he jumps cut and all this stuff in college. But yeah, he could do it too here, and I'm fine with him, you know, losing some yards and some plays here and there, but then hitting home runs. But I'll just say my last point, and then I'll take it off the phone.
Sure.
With Baker Mayfield, man, he is just a lot of people just, I don't know why, but he's a headache off the field, man. He's on Twitter. He's on Instagram the whole time.
That's fair.
He doesn't behave himself like a quarterback. I don't want to make this a race thing, but if it was another player, let's say an African-American player, they would be killing this guy. That this guy's on social media all the time, that this guy, you know, he's a mean first guy. I honestly, you know, that doesn't mean that he can't be great. He could be great, but it's just, why the hell would you take the risk on this guy? Unless you're Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville, I would definitely take him in Jacksonville, but I would not take him if I'm the Giants, not with all the drama going on over here, not with New York City.
That's fair. That's all fair, Antonio.
His arm is not better than Jackson's. His legs are not better than Jackson's. Jackson is just an accurate. But I would definitely, you know, I would take Darnold. I would take Rosen. I would even take Jackson over him because
there's no way. Antonio, there's no way you could take Lamar Jackson over Baker Mayfield.
Of course you can't, because all you have to work with Jackson is just his accuracy. You got to work on his mechanics. That's not impossible. His arm strength is elite. He probably has the second best arm in the league, and I'll take it off the phone. Thank you guys. Enjoy.
No,
your
thank you, Antonio. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call.
You know, another one.
And by the way, that is not my. I'm very up in the air on what I would do in that situation presented, and I reserve the right to change my mind. By the way, and I'm still if
you don't even have to reserve the right, just do it.
I
do.
And even after giving that answer, I'm still not sure about.
I change my mind all the time, daily.
I'm still not sure.
And I'll tell you
it.
One thing to look at this. Minka Fitzpatrick is a player, too.
That's another guy I would consider in that spot.
Because I've always said this. This is one thing that I have been consistent with. That number two pick has got to be your guy that's going to be a hell of a player for your organization for a long time. He's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. I could see this guy, Fitzpatrick, as being that type of guy.
To me,
Jeff, playing for 10 years.
There are four elite non-quarterback players in this draft. It's Chubb, it's Barkley, it's Fitzpatrick, and it's Quentin Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the four elite non-quarterbacks in this draft class, okay? All four guys, including the quarterbacks, are who I would consider at number two. That's where I am.
And you know, with Nelson.
And by the way, I think Rosen worries me more with off-the-field stuff than Mayfield does.
Especially coming to New York.
And the injuries. And I'm including injuries in that situation.
He's already had his injuries.
Well, and if Rosen never had any injury issues, Jeff, I would probably make him my pick there. The injuries scare the heck out of me.
The injuries, and I don't know, you know, maybe his toughness a little bit. I don't know. I you know, he's a spoiled brat, according to the guy. So, I don't want to go to treatments. My arm hurts. You know?
Now you're just making stuff up.
Exactly. I could do that. That's connected.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the head.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're mad, my
man. Here we go.
Uh-oh, did we lose Charlie? We scared him away.
We've done that before.
Charlie, wow.
That's, listen,
That's the best moment of the show. Go to Charlie here and dial Tony. You'll get any better than that, right?
He got afraid of his own introduction.
He did. All right. That means Shakes is up next. Shakes, what's going on, buddy?
Shakes.
Hey, what's going on, John and Jeff?
How are you, buddy?
Man? Haven't heard you in a while. At least I haven't. Nice to hear you.
Hey, man. Long time no hear, Jeff. Hey, excuse my voice for a second, man. I'm sick. So,
that's okay.
You know, just give me, you know,
get
break
well.
Yourself.
Get well.
But, John, man, you was fired up about the
he was, wasn't he? I got him.
Number one,
and
right?
Here's the thing. I think people have wishful thinking, and they want the Browns not to pick the quarterback number one. I just don't think it's realistic. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and I go through the same thing on my show. Like, I'm fussing them out. Like, there is no way, no way that they go year after year pooping on a franchise quarterback. They did it last year. They did it the year before that. They keep on doing it. There's no way they do it again.
Correct.
No way they do it again.
And
it,
you know why, Shakes?
It's impossible for them to do something like
that. And I guarantee you ownership, even if the GM doesn't want to, ownership's going to make them, which, by the way, is not the way a team should be run, but the way, from my understanding, the way the Browns is run, that will absolutely happen.
But I had three questions.
Bring them.
I had three questions. Now, the trade, I wanted to know if y'all would do this, to trade back. Like, first, I'm taking Barkley number two, right?
Okay.
But what I'm saying is with the second round choice, right? That's an early second round. It's like one or two, right? Now, you trade back up in the first round. If one of those quarterbacks drop, because y'all just went off the names of six quarterbacks, which I think is about five quarterbacks that could come in and start for a team and take over a team. Mm-hmm. So if one of those five, because I don't see one of those five drop. I mean, every quarterback is taken before in the top 20. So if they drop to like 21, 22, something around that range, I'm trading back up in and grabbing that quarterback. So my question about it is, that would probably cost us a next year's first rounder. Do y'all think that's worth it?
I'm not. If you
not at
move,
a 21.
If you want to move from 32 to 21, would that cost you one next year? It might. I think it's close.
Well, you'd be moving to 34.
I don't know if that's right, 34 to 21. I'm not sure, honestly. I would move up for Jackson. I'm not sure I would do that.
That was my scenario.
I would think about Josh Allen. I'm not that excited. Frankly, I'm not that excited about him either. I have him and Jackson in kind of the same area, probably Allen a little bit ahead of Jackson, but I have him in the same zone, if you will. I don't think I would trade up to do that, Shakes, because frankly, I don't – here's what I look at it. I feel a lot better about a guy like Mayfield or Darnold than, say, a guy – than what I saw from Davis Webb. I don't have much more confidence in Lamar Jackson becoming a really good quarterback than Davis Webb. To me, they're similar as well. I think Jackson's probably more highly rated coming out of college than Webb was. And in fact, I think that's...
Well, he won a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he's a better player. But I don't think the difference is enough for me to want
to
use the type of asset you're talking about to trade up and go get him. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't. If I'm going to trade up from that level and there's an offensive lineman that I see that I could get, I'm going after that guy, not the quarterback. That's me.
All right. So, okay, I get your opinions. Or I have a different opinion of it, but I just wanted to know y'all opinion.
All good.
All right, so my next question is this. Do you guys think that we'll be able to sign a big free agent offensive lineman like Nate Solder or Andre Norwell?
I think they're going to try, and I think what a trap Shakes a lot of the fans fall into is that they kind of think, well, if the Giants want one of these guys, they'll get them, right? Well, no, because there might be a dozen other NFL teams with more cap space than the Giants that are thinking the exact same thing. So there's no guarantee that if the Giants really want and try to get one of these guys that they're going to get one. I think Dave Gettleman made it pretty clear that he's going to do everything he can to improve the offensive line. So I certainly think they'll be in the market for one of the better linemen that are available. But is there any guarantee that they're the team that lands one? No, that's the nature of free agency.
And one thing that I kind of see a little bit more of a trend starting in the NFL that hasn't come around a lot is, you know, maybe there's other players on this team that another team would like in trades for people. You know, I mean, they trade, talking about draft picks all the time, but there could be player trades involved in some of this stuff.
Look, I promise you the Bills are going to try to trade Cordy Glenn. Whether or not the Giants want to roll the dice on it with his injury history, that's a question. I don't know the answer to that. And he also takes up a significant amount of cap space. So those are the things, Shakes, that they're going to have to take into consideration.
Okay, and my last question for y'all is, and this is just, you know, playing on me, you know, am I jumping off the ledge by saying that Saquon Barkley, first of all, Barkley a bust, I'm leading that campaign. But do y'all, am I jumping off the ledge by saying that this guy, Saquon Barkley, is the next Marshall Faulk? And I know that's high praise, right? And I know he ain't stepped on the field yet. But my thing about it is a guy that can sit there and kill you in multiple aspects of the game, I think that Saquon Barkley has that in him like Marshall Faulk did. So y'all can go ahead and take that question and answer it up while I get off the air. Thank y'all for taking my call. Appreciate
Thank you, Shakes.
Y'all.
I appreciate it. And I think that's a good comparison. I think that's the high end of Saquon Barkley's potential. Do I think he can reach that? Yes. Do I think that he will? It's tough. It's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a really good player. You go back, Thurman Thomas, same type of guy.
But they did. Those guys have to play as long as they did. This guy has to play, and you know, I don't know what his health history is.
It's been pretty good.
Been pretty good, right? So, I mean, those are things you have to look at.
Yeah, and look, I think that's a good comparison. I think he's got a shot. Like Marshall Faulk wasn't the guy you get the ball to 28 times and you pound the rock with him.
But he caught the ball.
He did a lot of different things, and he was damn good at what he did. So yeah, Shakes, I think that is a high end comparison for Barkley.
And as a rookie, you definitely could see Saquon Barkley returning punts and kickoff because he's very good at.
He did more. He did a lot more kickoff than punts.
Yeah,
correct. Yes, Kevin in Orlando. He's up next. Good call, Shakes. How are you, Kevin?
As a fellow bald man, I like this combination today.
Ah,
we're bringing
it's a great, it's a great combination. John and I woke up this morning and didn't even have to look at a comb, which is beautiful.
Showers are about 2 minutes. I love life with
yep.
Anyway, two questions. One about Barkley, one about Davis Webb.
Yeah.
Our offensive line is so poor. I don't think, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I don't think we're going to go from really bad to the Cowboys in one season. If we're like okay to tolerable, I think that's a reasonable expectation.
I agree.
So if you pick a Saquon Barkley, is his skill set going to be diminished due to a average or maybe below average offensive line, or does he make the offensive line better? The Cowboys were able to pick Ezekiel Elliott because they had a dominant offensive line, so you're maximizing his skill set. That's what my pause
you
is
know,
about
Kevin,
taking someone like Barkley.
That is a great question. It's a great question. I think at times he will make your offensive line look better because he'll create something out of nothing. Other times I think maybe he'll try to bounce some stuff when he doesn't see a hole, and then he'll get himself into trouble. If you can get your offensive line to the point where they're average to above average, and I think that's the zone you're kind of talking about, I think it makes more sense to draft somebody like Barkley because he'll have a better chance to succeed. If you can't get to that point through free agency, then I think you really have to have pause about it because I don't want to put this poor kid behind an offensive line that really struggles because I don't think that will allow him to take advantage of his skills.
And I got to believe that if you feel that you're going to draft Saquon Barkley as a number two, you feel that this guy can help your offensive line the way he plays and the way he runs. Okay, so I think that he has to make the offensive line better. Will he? Who knows? But it, you know, you're right. You can't go from, you know, chopped liver to prime steak here in one offseason.
Like, people talked about how great the Vikings, how much better the Vikings were this year. Their offensive line was better. They were still a middling offensive line group. They just weren't the train wreck they were the year before.
Yeah, I think Saquon Barkley will make your offensive line look better at times,
sure,
most of the time, because
Absolutely.
You got to believe if you're going to draft him at number two,
he's
going to do that. Exactly.
Better. Yeah.
Yep. And regarding Davis Webb, I sincerely hope that the Giants – and they're not going to tip their hand before the draft, obviously. But I hope that they feel he's their guy or just as good as anyone else they could draft, because I'd rather pick another player and it frees up assets to use around the rest of your team. But does a new team of people like Schumer come in not want to be tied to the prior regime's pick? I know they're not supposed to have an ego. It's supposed to be the best thing for the organization. But it's not like they have Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench or anything like that. No offense to Davis Webb. I don't know how much of that is going to say we have to pick a quarterback because I want it to go on my merits, not be tied down on how important a quarterback is to what the prior regime did.
I know some coaches and GMs think that way, Kevin. You're absolutely right. My impression, and I love to get Jeff's too, because he actually probably knows Dave better than I do. Dave Gettleman has the smallest ego of any person I've ever met. He makes fun of himself as much as makes fun of anybody else. So I don't believe that Gettleman will think that way. I believe he will make an honest, good evaluation of Webb, what he thinks of him, and he'll probably go back and watch his college tape, to be honest with you, and then he'll take a look at what he did in practice last year. Remember, the Giants tape every practice, so every throw that Webb made in practice last year, Dave Gettleman can go back and he can watch it. And then he'll decide whether or not he thinks he can be the next guy, and then the Giants will make their decisions accordingly after that.
Most of the evaluations.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the call.
On Davis Webb is being done now, because really, when Dave Gettleman was when he was there, they weren't looking for a quarterback. They had Cam Newton. So I think that's the thing. And I believe that Dave Gettleman doesn't really give a you know what about if he's got a guy on his roster that turns out to be really good. Who cares? He's on this team. Let's see what he's got. If I don't think he's any good, then I'll draft another quarterback. You know. But the fact is this: the guy coming out of the draft. Is going to be in the draft this year, a quarterback. They don't know any more about him than they know about Davis Webb. Davis Webb has zero snaps under center in the National Football League in a regular season game, right?
All snaps came in third string situations.
They're both the same.
Preseason.
That's it. So, I mean, really, I think you got the guy. He's going to be on the roster. They're going to evaluate him in the offseason and in preseason, and it doesn't really matter. But
I think it's their evaluation of the quarterbacks in this class that will determine whether they pick a quarterback, not necessarily their evaluation of Davis Webb, if you know where I'm going with that.
100%. I think that it's a bonus if they think that highly of Davis Webb.
Correct. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Oscar in Florida is up next. Hi, Oscar.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are
you? What's up,
buddy? Hey, this is my first time calling in.
Nice. Nice to have you.
I've listened to you guys for a really long time, and I don't think I've heard anybody say anything about an Odell Beckham trade. I'm not saying that I don't want him on the Giants. I think he's the best wide receiver there is. But is that something that's viable? Like, you know, what could we get in something like that?
A lot. I mean, you would get a ton.
You might get the first half of the draft.
Yeah, and look, let me put it this way. The Giants are not shopping Odell Beckham Jr., okay?
Well,
he's a great player. John Mara said he wants him here for his entire Giants career. Dave Gettleman has talked about how you don't give up on talent, you don't get rid of talent, and there's no doubt Odell Beckham Jr. has a load of talent. He is a great player. I think the Giants want him to be here for a very, very long time. So do you rule that out as a possibility? No. What is it? Probable? Absolutely not.
You always listen.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think that's a realistic thing, especially coming off an ankle injury. I think anything with Odell Beckham Jr. is on pause until you see how he's recovered from this ankle injury and he's here either in the spring or the summer.
That's true. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Unless somebody comes and backs the truck up and says, here.
Yeah, even so.
But, you know, it's very impractical. It's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And, by the way, I think I might have already switched back to wanting Rosen instead of Mayfield. Like I said, it's a very fluid situation. I've thought about it more.
Honestly, I really want to see how it's fun to talk about him, though.
I want to sit there on Friday and listen to these guys talk to the media at the Combine so I get a little bit of a better feel for their personalities.
I think after reading about him, you're going to have an idea and see if it matches, you know, and then get your opinion on
it.
And
we're also going to talk to about literally guys like a dozen draft people at the Combine, and we'll try to get into the weeds on
this. I mean, you've already seen some of the guys that at the Senior Bowl, so.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul in Rhode Island. He's our final caller. Hi, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So I want to talk two different things. Shane Vereen first. Mm-hmm. Is he still on a contract?
No, Shane Vereen is going to be a free agent.
Yep.
Oh, he is a free agent. Okay, because I was going to say, I think it's time to separate from him, and maybe that's where I think McKinnon would fit in.
Okay.
Especially with Pat Shurmur here. I was just thinking, just seeing what you guys thought of that. And then the other thing was the draft. I'm thinking if Barkley is not there, I don't feel in the first round we should go quarterback, maybe in the second round. I tweeted before, I personally like Lamar Jackson in the second round. I feel like his legs with the offensive line situation can help extend plays, get Odell open, and open up the play action in the run game for, just because of his running ability by itself. I feel like he can stay in the pocket when the pocket's clean. But as far as the first pick, I feel maybe Bradley Chubb or Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
And I'll listen to your response off here. Thanks.
Those are all good names.
I think those are all options.
I don't think
Thanks
you could go wrong with any one of those guys. I really don't.
No, you can't. And look, if Lamar Jackson's sitting there in the second round, you think about that long and hard.
Okay.
Long and hard.
Absolutely. And the other guys, you would probably have some calls to answer about why did we take him or why we didn't take it. But those names are real. Chubb and Fitzpatrick are guys that you could definitely see that the Giants, if they did take them, you'd be like, okay.
Sure. Care. Yeah, absolutely. Right. But this is not pick. Guys, what I know you're looking for this sometimes. What you're not going to get from me and Jeff and Paul and Lance is if the Giants don't do this one thing, they're stupid. There's a lot of real options here that make a lot of sense to spend depending on your perspective and how you want to build a team.
Yes, and where you want to build, how you want to build it. Do you want to build it through the draft? Is it trading down to get picks? Is it through free agency? How quickly can you do it? I don't know.
It's time.
It's time.
Favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegel?
Dan, it is everybody's favorite game.
Great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegel's with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's
go ahead, try.
Host.
That was just so.
John Schmelt.
Fiegel's has been a roller coaster ride this season. He started at 4-1.
I
got
don't know.
Three
coming
straight,
off of 3-0 from last week.
And then he's 3-0 last week. So he's at 7-4. And the game, folks, is that I name. Give Jeff some names, and he has to tell me.
And by the way, there was a caller yesterday that enjoys this game immensely.
And we had a tweet the other day that said they enjoyed the game immensely as well. All right,
probably
here we go.
Probably the music more than anything.
Jeff Fiegel, did you play with James Willis? Did you play with James Willis?
I'm now into reading your mind. I don't think I play with James Willis.
You get nothing.
Yes, you did play with
James
Willis.
No, I didn't.
1999, the Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks, huh? The Seahawks.
James Willis played in 16 games that year and
was he a
nine
linebacker?
Tackles.
Linebacker?
James Willis was, in fact, a linebacker.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. He was on the punt team. I should have known that. Damn it. All right. 0-1. I'm coming back. James Willis. God, what number was he?
I don't know. Did you play with?
Like I would have remembered what number he was, right? I didn't
Tommy
even remember his name.
Bennett.
Who?
Tommy Bennett.
Yes. Yes, I think I did play Tommy Bennett.
Okay.
Defensive lineman.
Where did you play with?
Oh, him? Am I? Come on. Is it Philly or New England? One of
you
the two.
Lose.
What?
Good day,
he was a
sir.
Defensive back and you played with him at Arizona. Not even close. He got both wrong. Hence, you lose. Good day, sir.
How many years with the Cardinals?
He played with the Cardinals from 96 to 99. So how many years is that with you? Three?
96, 97, and 98, yeah.
So 3 years.
That's horrible.
He started 16 games in 98 in safety.
Holy smokes.
See, and if you're the safety, he was probably on the punt team, too.
Most likely. Wow.
Hold on. I got one
thank
more
God
for you.
Thank God he doesn't watch the show.
Did you play with DJ Johnson? Did you play with DJ Johnson?
I did.
Where did you play with DJ
running,
Johnson?
Was he running back for Arizona?
You got two out of three. He was a defensive back for Arizona.
Ah.
But you got that one.
All right. Damn. I know. There's so many Johnsons. You always go with the Johnsons. How many Johnsons are
there's a lot. There's a lot of Johnsons. Especially
how many? How many?
Especially in an NFL locker room. Hello?
How many Johnsons on the back of the jerseys are there in the locker room? Okay? I mean, too many Johnsons.
Lots
on the
of Johnsons. I thought it was. He only played seven games with the Cardinals.
How many
that
people
one year,
are
too?
Actually just laughed at that thing Drat. That I just said? That's, I know Dan did over there. He was. It's just
All right, I got a couple of tweets. I always say I'm going to get the tweets. I didn't get to them during the show.
All right, so that was not bad.
No, one and two. It's not good. Chip Heim, based on BBKL today and this week, here's my perspective take. Giants keep number two, select Chubb, and Gettleman of first press conference says offense scores points and defense wins championships. I think that's really realistic. I agree with that. Ben Gruen points out, well, maybe the Browns don't pick a quarterback at one if they sign Kirk Cousins, and I think that is a fair point. I don't think Cousins will choose the Browns, but maybe. Paul Contreras wants Barkley in the first, Lamar Jackson in the second. That's going to be your offense for the next few years. At Bema 21, I'm not trading back past 15 at Arizona. Like Dottino said, you can't go too far back. I guess he said that yesterday. I don't know. Sure.
Because somebody was saying about 21-22.
Matthew Teske, what do you think of keeping Kennard and Robinson? I think Kennard's a possibility going to the 3-4. And then he mentioned some cheaper linebackers, Barkevious Mingo pass, Zach Brown possible, Will Compton, not sure I like that. So that's something there. A.J. Marshall, what do you think of Navarro Bowman from the Raiders?
I like it.
A little old.
Yeah, but
but
he played well last year.
He was okay.
I mean, you can get him for a decent number, I would take him.
Fair enough. Jeff, it's a pleasure. Now, you're not going to hear from Jeff Eagles next week, folks, because we have a full week of Combine program. So he's not going out to the Combine, but we'll be
there. You got
there.
Me twice this week.
You got him twice this week. So you have the week without Eagles. I'm sorry. Next week at the Combine is going to be fun, though. We're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, live shows. We'll have some great live guests breaking things down. Make sure you tune in. Our usual suspects, some Giant beat guys, Paul Schwartz, Tom Rock, Art Stapleton. Our draft guys, Matt Miller, Dane Brugler, John Ledyard, Kyle Krabs, Jeff Risden. Tony Pauline, you name it. We have everybody that's going to be there, some national reporters as well, as you break down free agency and the draft from Indianapolis at the Combine. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us. Meadow and I will see you on Monday. Have a good one, everybody.